I was in central Mexico on a Fulbright grant where half of the time I was teaching English, but the other half of the time I was given the flexibility to develop my own project. And I spent a lot of time in a local migrant shelter and then spent a lot of time writing stories. Stories that people had told me, trying to unpack this larger theme of what does it mean to choose to go to another country, which is what I was doing, choosing to go to Mexico versus migrating by necessity.
And one thing I found that was neat about your blog is I think a lot of people, when they go out to write about an experience they're having, focus so much on themselves. But I found in your stories, it's like each post was about a different person and their experiences with immigration. You interviewed one man from Honduras who had been tortured and mm-hmm. was about your age, about 23, and he had undergone such challenges. Often we meet people here who have come from Central America, but what are people not understanding about the situations that people are going through to arrive in this country?
People endure such immense hardship to get to the U.S. I mean, for Central Americans traveling through Mexico, the risks are so great, and oftentimes the suffering is inevitable. In order to be willing to knowingly endure that kind of hardship, there's a reason you're leaving. If you're willing to endure the kind of suffering people do on the journey north, there's greater suffering at home.
And you had a very firsthand experience with that. You were first in one city working with a shelter, and then you had to change for the very last month of your scholarship.
Basically, for the majority of my grant, I was working at one shelter. Then I was told by the director of another shelter that shelter that I had been working with was tied up with organized crime, basically. And allegedly that the director was selling migrants over to a certain pollero, which is like a guide that isn't always related to the trafficking industry. But if someone is buying migrants, buying humans, it's either to use them to smuggle drugs, to sell them into the sex trade, or to hold them ransom, because usually it's the other way around, that migrants are paying guides to take them. It was about 8 months into my grant that I was told this story. I had to go back and think over the people I interviewed and wonder what had happened to them, wonder if they were at risk. One of the hardest things about that period of time is that, you know, I'd spent like 7, 8 months listening to so many horrible stories, people being tortured, kidnapped, assaulted, etc., along the journey, and then to find out those kinds of similar things were happening right in the spaces around me, I think was really, really hard and really impacted me a lot.
I'm speaking to Kelsey Freeman, Fulbright scholar who just returned from a trip to Mexico studying immigration policy and presents at the CRMS Barn tonight at 7. I imagine it was emotional and jarring to be so close to these people, interviewing them and then unsure of what might happen to them. Or what has happened to them.
Yeah, and I mean, that's happened with kind of a lot of the people I interviewed. I exchanged information with a lot of people I interviewed with, and they'd send messages, they'd send updates. And then there were times where, like with one particular migrant, he was sending me messages, and then stopped sending me messages. And then, you know, I keep sending messages and get no response, still have not gotten a response to this day. So I think it's something I've kind of tried to prepare myself for, because I know that not everyone is necessarily going to make it to the U.S. or make it at all. You know, I know the risks. I've heard the stories.
Although you were in Mexico, you were interacting with people from a number of different countries. Earlier this week, Trump announced that he was going to terminate protected status for people from El Salvador, which is one of the most violent countries in the Western Hemisphere. Did you meet many people from El Salvador?
Yeah, most people that I talked to that were migrating from El Salvador were fleeing gang violence. So then I think about all the, you know, the 200,000 people here under the temporary protected status that are now at risk of being deported back to El Salvador. And just the implications of that, I think, are huge. Even though it's temporary protected status, people have been here for decades and their homes are here now.
Right, for 17 years. Mm-hmm. And although the cause of that temporary protected status was a series of earthquakes, I know from speaking to a man from El Salvador that there's many cities that are controlled completely by gangs, and if you show up and they don't know who you are, your life is in serious danger.
Exactly. I think one of the things that people don't always realize is that when it comes to gang violence, ordinary people get tied up in it. It's not like you have to be, you know, a gang member or something to be touched by gang violence. It's everyone. There was an El Salvadorian couple that was migrating, and they left because they lost their jobs in the village they were working in. And they said, you know, we can't go to another village to work because other villages around us are different gangs' territory. And they know we're from this particular village that belongs to this particular gang. And the moment we step into another gang's territory, we're targets. We could be threatened. We could be killed. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize, is that just by moving into a different space, you put your life in danger. And that really walls people off. And DACA is huge. I think of people that I know, I think of other Fulbright scholars that are DACA recipients that would potentially have to go back to a country they may or may not really know. And I think of all that is lost in terms of their contributions to the U.S. You know, growing up in the Roaring Fork Valley, obviously immigration is a really important issue here. So I hope that the presentation will also be a space to kind of reflect on immigration locally. Mm-hmm. To ask questions and to make it more of a discussion forum a little bit.